Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Brookfield India Real Estate Trust Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode until the floor is open for questions. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to the management. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Alok. Very good evening to everyone. Welcome to the earnings call for Q1 FY 2024. At the outset, I'm pleased to say that we are on track to completing the acquisitions of Downtown Powai and Candor TechSpace G1 in partnership with GIC. Like we had stated at the time of announcement of acquisitions, these transformative acquisitions will significantly increase our operating scale and diversify our portfolio. We have secured 27 billion of equity to finance acquisitions. Thanks to the support from our existing unit holders and new investors, we raised rupees 23 billion through the recently concluded institutional placement. Further, we have commitment to raise rupees 4 billion from the sponsor group through a preferential issuance, subject to the unit holders' approval, which is scheduled for end of August. With this, we are well placed to complete the acquisitions of Downtown Powai and G1 during the ongoing quarter. These acquisitions will lead to our total area increasing by 35% and our operating area increasing by 44%. There will be significant improvement in geographic diversification, with Mumbai and Gurugram becoming the largest geographies by value in our portfolio. The top five tenant concentration will reduce from 51% to 31%, with the share of BFSI tenants increasing by approximately 10%. During the quarter, our current portfolio witnessed gross leasing of 0.3 million sq ft at a re-leasing spread of 42%. Additionally, 0.1 million sq ft of LOIs are under execution. We renewed our lease with a marquee tenant at N1 at a 49% higher rent than the expiring rent. Our existing leases have delivered a robust embedded growth with a 9% average escalation on 1.7 million sq ft during the quarter. The physical occupancy at our campuses continued to improve. That, combined with our robust leasing pipeline of 1.2 million sq ft, gives us confidence that we'll be able to backfill the expiries in this year. We have achieved a 5% increase in our adjusted NOI run rate over the same quarter last year and have generated NDCF per unit of rupees 4.91 per unit, in line with our current quarterly run rate. Considering the impact of the additional units that were issued as part of the institutional placement, we are distributing rupees 3.85 per unit for the quarter. Our portfolio has robust embedded growth that will grow our NOI organically by approximately 16% from balance leasing and growing physical occupancy, aiding margin recovery. This organic growth, coupled with potential inorganic growth from the 25 million sq ft of high-quality sponsor assets in Bangalore, Mumbai, Chennai, Delhi, and Pune, provides a strong medium to long-term growth trajectory for our REIT. We have continued to achieve success on the ESG front. We are transitioning our campuses to consuming green energy, and approximately 28% of the electricity consumption in the last quarter was from green sources. Candor TechSpace K1 achieved a 100% green energy status in the last quarter. We achieved an IGBC Gold rating for Kensington and an IGBC Platinum rating for the recently completed towers, Tower 11 and 11A, at Candor TechSpace N2. With this, the entire campus of Candor TechSpace N2 is IGBC Platinum rated. We also won the Golden Peacock Award for Energy Efficiency in the Real Estate and Construction category for 2023. We continue to take incremental measures to ensure that our assets are green, efficient, resilient and future fit so that we can achieve our net zero target by 2040. Now I would like to invite Sanjeev to provide the financial updates.
Thank you, Alok, and good evening, everyone. Our fundraising program for the acquisition of Downtown Powai and Candor Tech Space G1 has progressed very well over the last month. I am delighted to announce that we have successfully raised 2,305 crore rupees through our first institutional placement, which saw robust participation from both existing unit holders and new investors. We issued 9.1 crore units to 64 institutional investors with participation from all categories of investors. This institutional placement has also led to approximately 60% increase in free float. New investors have subscribed to approximately 65% of the issue, which has led to significant diversification of the investor base. We have secured a commitment of 400 crore rupees from our sponsor group through the proposed preferential issuance, which is subject to approval at the unit holders meeting scheduled on 26th August 2023. The proposed preferential allotment is at around 25% premium to the current price, demonstrating the long-term commitment reposed by the Brookfield sponsor group in the Brookfield India Real Estate Trust. Post the completion of fundraise, the Brookfield group would continue to be the largest unit holder with approximately 44% of the unit holding. With the combination of this institutional placement and preferential issuance, we have secured the funding for the acquisition of Downtown Powai and Candor Tech Space G1. We expect to achieve closure of our first commercial paper of 750 crore rupees this month and have secured investors' commitment from several reputed mutual funds. The proceeds from the commercial paper issuance will be issued to right-size the SPV level debt at Downtown Powai and Candor Tech Space G1. We have achieved a stable NDCF of rupees 164 crores in line with our quarterly run rate, that is 4 rupees 91 paisa per unit. Considering the additional units that were issued as part of the fundraising through the institutional placement, the adjusted NDCF per unit is 3 rupees 86 paisa per unit for quarter 1 FY 2024. The board has approved the distribution of 164 crore rupees or 3 rupees 85 paisa per unit this quarter. With completion of the acquisition in quarter 2 FY 2024, we expect the full benefit of the acquisition to flow through to our distributions from quarter 3 2024 and organically grow thereafter. We have witnessed a growth of 4% in our operating lease rentals to 211 crore rupees compared to the same period last year. The adjusted NOI for this quarter grew by 5% to 245 crore rupees compared to quarter 1 of financial year 2023. We continue to hold a significant organic growth potential of 16% in our existing assets, which can be achieved through the lease up of vacant area and margin recovery. Further, our NOI potential will significantly increase upon the addition of Downtown Powai and Candor Tech Space G1 to the portfolio. Our robust balance sheet had a loan to value ratio of 33% and average interest rate of 8.2% as on 30th June 2023. Our debt structure has ensured that we have limited amortization of only 5% till financial year 2026. The SPV level debt at Downtown Powai and Candor TechSpace G1 is also at a repo rate linked competitive rate of 8.5% per annum with limited amortization over the next few years. With this, I would request the moderator to open the floor for Q&A and thanks to all.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations for getting through this QIP. My first question is...
Sorry to interrupt, your voice is coming a little muffled. Can you please speak through the handset or a little closer to the handset?
Is it better? Can you hear me well?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So my first question is, when does this acquisition finally get through? And post the acquisition, do you still have rights to the cash flows from the acquired assets from 1st April onwards, or does that start accruing from Q3 only? Yeah.
So, Sanjeev here, Puneet. The acquisition we expect to complete by end of the current month. And as far as cash flows are concerned, if it's on all earnings post acquisition, plus whatever will be as a opening cash balance on the day of acquisition in these SPVs, REIT will have right over that.
Yeah, and Puneet, the income support on G1 will kick in from the first of this quarter, which is the 1st of July.
Right, but the cash flow, would it have changed from what you first indicated or the opening cash balance, or will that also be the same?
So opening cash balance, as far as Powai is concerned, there is about 23 crores of opening cash that will continue to remain unvalued and the REIT will not pay value for it. But that will become available for distribution in the quarter ending 30th September.
And the earnings that the asset would have accrued in the first 5 months?
Not in the first 5 months. So the earnings of any cash flows from end of August onwards, by which point in time we should have closed the acquisitions, will accrue to the REIT. So there are three components. One is income support starting 1st July. There is 23 crores of opening cash in Powai. And there is any cash flows that may accrue after 31st August.
Understood. And what is the plan on the debt side? There was some repayment of debt which was planned. I presume part of it will go through. What happens to the rest?
Puneet, this is Ankur. Just like with every acquisition, there will be a change in the capital structure to align with what capital structure of a REIT owned SPV should be, both in terms of type of amortization as well as the quantum of debt. And part of the proceeds of capital raising is used for that debt capital structure that befits the REIT owned SPV. That's all it is.
No, last time you had indicated almost 1350 crores of repayment of debt. I presume after the 2700 that you've raised, 2400 or 2600 will go into your share and the balance would go into the repayment of debt, right? And some debt will still remain. And that will remain.
The SPVs will have the right amount of leverage and these SPVs are currently privately held. So there is a higher leverage, slightly higher leverage than what a public REIT should have. So part of the capital raising are going towards that debt resizing.
So Puneet, I'll just add, Sharanra here. The 1350 crores of debt will fully get replaced at the SPV level by a shareholder loan. 50% this will be contributed by the REIT and this will be effectively through the CP issuance that is underway. The balance half comes from our counterparty where again the transaction is committed. So effectively whatever we had articulated on the 1350 crore happens in entirety.
Understood. That's very clear. Thank you. And lastly, what are the roadblocks to this acquisition? I presume it's just procedural now.
Yeah, that's correct. It's all procedural. We expect to conclude both the transactions between 20th to 30th of August this month.
Understood. Just one on the operational side, I noticed that the average escalation for the 1.7 million square feet was about 9.1%. How should one read that? Should it not have been between 12 to 15%?
We explained that in the footnotes below.
Sorry to interrupt you, but you're not audible. Can you please come a little closer towards the speaker?
Yeah. We explained that in the footnote below. The Candor assets had an average escalation of 13%, and the Mumbai asset had an average escalation of 4%. This is because the Candor assets have an escalation once every 36 months.
Right. No, understand. It's my bad. Yeah, that's all for myself. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Kunal Dayal from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you. My first question is that your loan to value on a post-acquisition basis seems like might move into the high 30s by next quarter. So is the plan to maintain that level of LTV or would you intend to bring this down in the subsequent quarters?
So, Kunal, the long-term plan would be to bring it down. As we stated historically, we would be sub 35% on an ongoing basis. If we basically look at the debt, including the CP issuance that we are doing, we'll be somewhere in 36 and 37% range, which we would look to bring down in due course over a period of time.
And just to add here what Shailendra mentioned, this high 30s is coming because of one accounting treatment also. Because the partner's shareholder loan is going to be treated as loan while calculating LTV. Otherwise, it's as good as shareholder loan from REIT and shareholder loan from the partner.
Understand. Okay. The next question is on the physical occupancy. It seems like a very solid improvement. Just want to refresh what your definition is. Is this like, any seat getting utilized or occupied? Any time during the week, or is there a filter like it needs to be occupied twice or thrice a week at a minimum?
Yeah, so actually, when we say 66% physical occupancy, so what we're saying is if there are 1,000 seats in the campus on a particular day, then 66% is occupied. And of course, this is a peak, and generally the physical occupancy is higher on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. That's how you treat it.
Is that an average across the week or like on a daily basis that you calculate? Understand if someone were to come in once a week, will that count as part of the 66 or will it count as 0.2% occupancy?
See, now what is happening is generally most of the companies have mandated three times in a week, and as time is progressing, they are kind of making it mandatory. Till now, while they had mandated, but they were not very, very particular about it. So I would say in most of the companies, exceptions leave apart, people are coming at least two times in a week, but we should take it as a, maximum on a particular day, which would be Tuesday, Wednesday or Thursday. But yes, if somebody comes once in a week on that particular week, it will get counted.
Got it. Okay. And then last one would be great if you could just sort of, help us with what is the latest you are hearing from your IT services tenant base, both in terms of incremental space requirement as well as the return to office space. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think the writing on the wall is clear. People accept leave apart, and I would not say what statements I'm making. These are universally, applicable to everybody. But I would say large percentage of companies are very clear. They want people back to office. There's no two ways about it. Of course, everybody has gone for a hybrid work culture. That's true. This means they want people, some of the people they want 3 days in a week. That's where they want people. And also please understand that most of the companies have kind of a downsize considering this hybrid work culture. So what we are seeing is, you know, at least most of the companies are saying at least 5 to 6% growth in terms of employees they're expecting year on year. And they already have downsized. They already have rationalized their real estate kind of a portfolio, which is present right now. So as people will come back and as we see businesses grow, incremental real estate requirement will come up, you know, quarter on quarter. That's very, very evident.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Press star and 1 to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Shirish Vazwe from Moneylife Advisory. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So my question pertains to the acquisition. So average dilution price comes out to somewhere about 260, including both the institutional placement and the preferential issue, which represents a 22% discount to our pre-acquisition NAV. While we are acquiring assets at a 12% discount to NAV, the new assets. Just wanted to understand, would this lead to a reduction in NAV for existing investors before the acquisition? And how should existing investors look at this acquisition? Thank you.
Look, this is Ankur. The largest existing investor is Brookfield in this case. And as a board and as sponsor, we are supportive of growth. Simply because of the quality of assets that are adding to the portfolio, you know, while all of us would like to believe that everybody can time the market, but we are also in the phase of the growth of the REIT business in the country, and some amount of dilution with prospects of long-term value creation is important for all of us in this business, and that's how I would like to read these numbers. If you look at the quality of income profile that is being added to the REIT, the stability and the diversification that it provides, and again, I would reiterate the quality of portfolio that we are on track to develop with this acquisition and with the pipeline that we can demonstrate, I think investors today long-term will be better served with a larger business and with a demonstrated path of both liquidity creation in terms of more float, as well as a more diversified portfolio.
Got it, sir. So do we have a number for what the, or an estimate, rough estimate, what the post-acquisition NAV would look like for the, on a per unit basis?
For the regulations, you know, we have to, we are supposed to update NAV on a 6-monthly basis. But you can take the March NAV with the 260-ish rupees per unit and do the math. But Brookfield's contribution will be right around the NAV mark. So you can use that as a proxy as well. It's about 315 odd rupees. Approximately, I could be wrong by a few cents here or there.
Okay. Got it. So my next question is on, so we have used about 750 crores in commercial paper as a bridge financing. So, how are we looking to retire this? Like, are we looking at a additional equity raise down the line, or will be replacing with this with a longer term debt?
So, Shailendra here. Look, there are basically two ways to eventually settle the CP. One could be to roll this over through a NCD program at the REIT. Okay, as you may see, there are no maturities that are coming in our existing debt portfolio, both on the existing assets, including and the assets that we are acquiring. Those are all long-term facilities with no near-term maturities or very limited near-term maturities. So we could very well do a bond. The other path that we could potentially take is to effectively replace this with an equity raise. If you actually look at the stated intent when we had announced these acquisitions, was to look at a 3400 crore fundraise potentially in one or more tranches. With the QIP and the preferential allotment, we have done a 2700 crore effective fundraise, and the balance could you know, over a period of time be done to retire the CP. Eventually, these are the two possible routes. We will take our own calls based on various other parameters that are appropriate at that point in time to eventually deal with this.
Got it. Thank you, sir. My last question relates to our committed occupancy. So in our existing portfolio across all our assets, we have seen a declining committed occupancy in this quarter. So are we seeing any system-wide reason for this? Because this is across geography. So,
No. So this is not really. I would say, you know, I would say, see, what's happening is we are kind of predicting a 1.2 million sq ft of expiries, and we're also predicting, you know, kind of a 1.2 million sq ft of a gross leasing. Now, there could be some timing gap which could be leading to a declining occupancy. But also keep in mind that some of the assets, they have really gone up in last 2 to 3 quarters. So there's no trend. I mean, there's really no trend. It's just a question of timing here. And we'll you know, as the leasing would happen, what we're projecting, it should pick up.
Got it. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. My question is on the CapEx for G2. So that has gone up to almost 200 million. Can you explain the nature of this CapEx, and can you also explain broadly what sort of maintenance CapEx would you need to do for these properties, going into future?
Sanjeev here, Puneet. There is some regulations which require CapEx to be incurred for green energy in NCR. So we are going to do that in G2 as well as Noida assets. So you may find that some increase there because of that green pit, which is going to be used for gas-based green energies.
Oh, you mean the gensets, the gas-based gensets you'll have to put?
Yes.
Yeah. The kits will be required for gas-based generation.
So you see, these regulations almost have been coming from last 3-4 years, and they have been kind of then gone on a back seat. Probably we have to be ready for these. Even if we go on a back seat, we have to gradually take it up. But you know, right now we want to cater for it because it's a requirement.
Understood. Would you need similar CapEx in other geographies also, given that, you know, genset regulations have changed from CPCB II to IV as well for across the country now?
Right now, largely for NCR and Gurgaon and Noida.
Okay. What kind of maintenance CapEx should one assume on a yearly basis?
Sorry, come again?
What kind of maintenance CapEx should one assume on a yearly basis for your assets?
Maintenance CapEx will not be there. This will be a one-time CapEx. There's no further maintenance CapEx required.
Okay, got it. And any comment would you want to make on the Kensington vacancy, which has gone up a bit?
Kensington? No, I mean, I would say if you're talking about Kensington, yes, we had an expiry, but we have a good, I would say, good pipeline, and we should be able to, you know, gradually fill up the vacant spaces at, you know, I would say, good mark-to-market.
Okay.
So Puneet, I can just add, there was one IT services player who surrendered about 100,000 sq ft of space, which has largely contributed to this. But you may have also seen that we've done about 1 million sq ft, or just under 1 million sq ft of renewal with TCS.
Yeah.
On an overall NOI basis, this is far more additive, and we have a fairly healthy pipeline in Kensington. So we think all of this will get back to, you know, normalization, and, you know, presents a good opportunity for us to scale up.
So what kind of timeline should one assume for this fill-up of this vacancy?
I think we can be somewhere 90% plus sometime next year.
Next fiscal year.
I mean, sometime next year, whether it will be Q2, Q3, very difficult to kind of time it, but yes, we should be 90%. We should cross 90%.
Okay. Got it. That's all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next follow-up question is from the line of Shirish Waze from Money Life Advisory. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. I just have two more questions. So, you know, after the completion of the acquisition, on a consolidated basis, what would be our total floating rate debt percentage?
So we are entirely floating rate at this point in time, at the SPV level. Post our CP issuance, the CP issuance will be a fixed rate instrument.
Okay. Got it. And we also have a few ROFO assets in Powai. So do we have a sort of a timeline in mind when that acquisition will sort of come up for us?
This is Ankur. We just completed a massive acquisition. So let's take a moment to consolidate that. Many of the assets in Powai that are in the ROFO are still some time away from stabilization. Or being the right fit for the REIT. So the board will take a call as those, but those are again smallish assets at this point.
Oh, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kunal Lakhan from CLSA India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Evening. Just wanted to reconcile.
Kunal, sorry to interrupt, your voice is breaking.
Is it better now?
Slightly better.
Sure. So on NDCF, right, this quarter we did about 1,642 million. Exclude the impact of the income support from the acquisition. How much would that be? Because you said that the income support started from 1st of July. So how much would that be?
No, so Kunal, income support will reflect in the next quarter's distribution. This is the distribution for the period until 30th June.
Okay, great. And lastly, like, you know, your distribution per unit 3.85 adjusted for, this is adjusted only for the QIP done, 23 billion QIP done, right? It's still the 12.7 million of, you know, promo preferential issue would again reflect, would probably get that number lower than 3.85.
That's correct. That's about 3% of post-money holdings. So this number would have looked like 3.75 if we had those units in the mix as well.
Sure, sure. And just, you know, post-acquisition, that I think Q3 would be the fourth full quarter, which will reflect, you know, the full impact of acquisition. Would you expect the, you know, DPU to revert back to, you know, $5 per unit, you know, which was there last year? On an average?
So look, this quarter and the next quarter has a bit of noise. This quarter, because the distributions are from previous year's earnings on a larger equity base. Next mm-hmm. quarter will have, or the quarter that we are sitting in right now, will not have full income on all the units from the two acquisitions. So there will be some noise between, call it the quarter that we are reporting right now and the current quarter that we are in. But on a steady state basis, you know, as we laid out the income profile of these assets, which are going to double in size to almost 2,000 crore steady state, so I would expect our distributions to go back to levels that we previously reported, which is 5 rupees a quarter.
From Q3 onwards, you're saying?
Three.
I didn't catch that actually. Which quarter onwards?
Q3 onwards. That would be our expectation.
Yeah, yeah. Great. Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay, so, you know, we had an eventful quarter and, you know, the business is looking pretty solid. I think the worst is kind of behind us, and so that's the message I want to give. The worst is behind us, and we are looking for you know, occupancies to move up, and we are able to achieve our performance. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Brookfield India Real Estate Trust, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.